This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have cloudy skies right now, a high temperature of 41 today. Right now, it's 40 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update on Wall Street. A turnaround underway, at least on the Dow. Let's get all the latest from Bloomberg and Joan Doniger.
That's right, Cisco, to tariff or not to tariff, and Wall Street decidedly comes down on the no side of that question. President Trump's comments to reporters today saying he may not have to impose further tariffs were all Wall Street needed to dial back the losses and send the Dow up 137 points. The NASDAQ losses diminished to 23, the S&P gaining 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up about a third of a percent now because of a 7% jump in Groupon shares, leading gains. Now, on Wall Street, tech shares had been sliding thanks to chipmaker NVIDIA. Its earnings report disappointed. Investors took all tech shares lower, but trade did turn things around somewhat. Investors' earlier mood had been dampened by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, which had said he did not say that the next round of tariffs is on hold. Any mention that the threat of tariffs will be lifted has moved Wall Street forward, and this is the result from President Trump's hints. Back to you, Chris and Cisco.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, Entrepreneur Friday, we'll meet a woman with worldwide travel service, and FAO Schwartz is back.
Also, VW moving more strongly into the electric car market. Is Tesla quickly losing its advantage? All of that and loads more still to come on today's Noon Business Hour.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, right now, Volkswagen makes a huge commitment to electric and self-driving vehicles. We'll get details in our next segment. Right now, we are wrapping up the week with a closely watched report on manufacturing. While the global economy and Fed policy remain top of mind, we're joined by Bob Bresca, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Bob. We're talking about trade tensions and China-U.S. trade and Brexit, oil, energy. What's the problem here, basically?
The problem here is that there are too many problems. I think that's the problem here. There's a lot of conflict around the globe. The UK is having internal dissent as well as problems negotiating with the EU about its exit rules. And, of course, the Trump administration is pressing China on free trade, and a number of other countries have just pressured Canada and Mexico to try to get the U.S. a better deal. And there's a lot of turmoil and conflict. And we've got turmoil in the oil market and geopolitical problems on top of that. It's a pretty messy world environment right now.
And how about the local economy, the U.S. economy, ranges as we look at the global economy?
Well, the U.S. economy is the best performer. That's pretty clear. We had this report on industrial production today. Headline was up by 0.1% in October. Growth is 4.1% year over year. Looking at the manufacturing sector, up 0.3% in October, up 2.7% year over year. That's probably the more relevant number to look at. Now, manufacturing is still doing okay, but we have these other more high-frequency surveys that Federal Reserve does, that the ISM does, that suggests that maybe the manufacturing sector and even the service sector are coming off their bloom, and we may be synchronizing with the rest of the world that is more clearly slowing down.
President Trump today said China may want to make a deal on trade, and Dow immediately went up about 100 points. Is that just a little glimpse into what Wall Street thinks about this trade war?
I think that the markets would be very, very happy for any information that would suggest that the trade war is going to be settled amicably. I don't even think the markets care how it's going to be settled. I mean, let's face it. U.S. multinational corporations are substantially the ones that are benefiting from China. And so when you talk about markets, you're talking about the shares traded in those corporations. They'd be very happy if we went back to the status quo. So they really don't care if conditions change to tilt the image back to the United States, which they have left, and which is still a relatively high-wage country. So this is the problem. We have all this tax reform, but we're still a relatively high-wage country. It's why we haven't benefited that much from the tax cuts, because we're still not very competitive, and other countries take advantage of us, in some cases unfairly, in other cases just exploit low labor. So, you know, when you look at the corporations, you try to judge the stock market. Remember, the stock market is kind of rooting for the status quo.
Let's talk about Brexit. Talk about something that is certainly not the status quo at all. As a deal moves forward, you have some craziness there. A couple of ministers resigning. The world has to be watching this. Huge implications.
Yeah, well, I think Brexit is particularly interesting, especially because, you know, the guy, one of the prime Brexit negotiators, was one of the first guys to quit. I mean, why was he quitting? To protest his own incompetence for the deal that he struck? And I find it very, very bizarre. I mean, very clearly, you have British politics in play. And, you know, to my view, people are positioning to make Theresa May look bad. So then after a deal is cut, somebody else can step in and take over. But nobody wants to take over until a deal is cut, because everybody wants a scapegoat to take the blame for this terrible deal, because that's what you're going to get, since the EU will not cut you a good deal. EU will only cut you a bad deal because they have other considerations on the table and internal problems that aren't going to let them compromise. So somebody is going to, you know, be holding the hot potato when the deal is struck, and everybody's going to blame that person for a bad deal. And then afterwards, somebody else is going to try to jump into the prime minister slot and make things right. Well, good luck with that. But I think that's what basically is going on in the UK. And I think that's why Theresa May has all this disloyalty by the people who have been on her cabinet.
Let's quickly talk about the Fed. I keep seeing today quotes that the central bank is getting closer to being neutral. What does that mean?
Well, it means different things to different people. Everybody has a different idea of what neutrality is. Obviously, every time you raise rates, you get closer to whatever that long-term rate is, since rates are low and we're coming up toward it. The question is, how close? The FOMC members have put that rate closer to 3%, and so unless they've changed that, we're still quite a ways away from it. So I still look at the things that the Fed writes. The Fed still seems to talk about neutrality as being around 3%. They talk about wanting to get a rate that's somewhat above neutral. And I'm concerned that that's, you know, like, you remember the movie A Bridge Too Far? Well, I think that's a rate too high.
Bob Bruska, appreciate you being with us. Bob is chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Coming up, VW placing a big bet on electric vehicles.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Volkswagen will spend around $50 billion on the development of electric and autonomous vehicles. Joining us on the International Auto Zorlin Park business line, John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv, based in Detroit. John, we want to get into some of the nuts and bolts of what VW is doing here, but give us kind of an idea of the broader picture here. Are we getting to a point where every auto company has to be into electric and autonomous vehicles if they're just going to keep up?
Well, hello, Cisco and Chris. And no, you're absolutely right. Every automaker has to do it. You know, in California, they have what they call zero emission vehicle regulations, where you have to sell zero emission vehicles. Right now, the only vehicles that qualify for that are battery electrics or fuel cell electrics. China has mandated market share requirements that automakers have to meet in terms of selling electric cars. And in Europe, they have CO2 regulations that are forcing them to get into electric cars. They are not doing this because of market demand. They're doing it because of government regulation.
Is the hope then that the market demand picks up, where if you produce enough of these things in varieties and in with capabilities that are comparable to gas-powered cars, that people will start buying them more than they are?
That's the hope. That is the hope. Now, you know, Tesla's done a terrific job. But remember, Tesla is an aspirational brand. You cannot buy a Tesla for under $50,000, really. And that's where we're at right now with this technology. unless an automaker is charging $50,000, they're losing money on the electric cars that they're selling. Prices, or rather costs, will come down in the future. But the industry is very nervous about this because all the automakers are committing many billions of dollars to come out with these cars. And it's kind of a question mark how many of them they're going to sell.
It's interesting that back in the day, Volkswagen had the small cars, and they were less expensive than most of the other cars now. And this is kind of how they're entering this market as well.
Well, it is. Let's see what Volkswagen's doing. But remember, too, Chris, Volkswagen got nailed for cheating on diesel emissions. And this is part of their penance of having to come up with electric cars right now. And a lot of the hoopla, a lot of the PR spin going on around this is to try to help people forget about that whole diesel emission cheating thing. So they're bragging about how they're going to be spending tens of billions of dollars on electric cars, and hopefully it'll all pay off. But it's not just this, you know, sort of brilliant insight that they've had that all of a sudden that the market is going to switch over to electrics. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes.
Reactionary, right. Is Tesla the leader at this point?
In electrics? No question about it. Tesla has achieved some really spectacular growth in car sales. You know, we can argue whether Elon Musk is, you know, the right kind of leader for them. There's a lot of question marks about their finances going forward. But from a product standpoint, from a sales standpoint, Tesla is so far out in front of everybody else right now, it's just amazing.
But does it have the ability to continue that? Because as we've been discussing, as more and more companies do this, it seems like Tesla's not going to be the only game in town, even though it is well ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Cisco. Tesla will lose market share, but there's no question the electric car market is going to grow. And Tesla will undoubtedly lose share, but it could grow enough that there's going to be plenty of room for everybody. But there's a lot of ifs along the way before we see that happen.
Nice to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining us, John. John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, building a business around a family and adventure travel.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, a check of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, all it took was a hint for Wall Street to try to start turning things around and limiting losses. The Dow up 87, the NASDAQ down 29, the S&P gaining 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg edging higher by about a tenth of a percent. Groupon shares are leading gains. Chip makers had dragged the tech sector. Investors were unhappy with NVIDIA's quarterly report. But then President Trump indicated to reporters that trade tensions with China are easing. He said he may not have to impose further traffic, and investors started rolling back losses and pushing gains. Now the gains are starting to fade a little. Let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Those same things are true in the grains. Corn was down 4.5 one time. It was up 1.25 one time. At the moment, we are down 2.5 in December at 365. That's a couple off the lows. January beans have been up 6 to down 7. At the moment, they're up 4.5 at 8.93 1/4. And wheat's been up 3 to down 3. At the moment, we have wheat for December up 2.75 higher in the wheat and beans, lower in the corn. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. The Dow right now up 68 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago woman who's taken her love of travel and built a business helping others find adventures.
Iconic toy retailer FAO Schwarz makes its return to New York City. Could Chicago be next?
Some members of the clergy want murder charges brought against a Midlothian police officer. officer who shot and killed a bar security guard.
A federal judge has temporarily reinstated CNN reporter Jim Acosta's White House press credentials.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 69, the NASDAQ down 36, and S&P 500 flat.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland, a high right about where we are now, hovering around 40 degrees. Some snow on the way overnight tonight, maybe an inch or two by the time it's over tomorrow. Right now, 39 O'Hare, 40 Midway, 41 along the lakefront. The noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
And the markets are fairly quiet on this final day of the trading week. We are joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. What have you been watching today, Chuck?
Well, what I've been watching is to see how the Dow Industrials kind of come back following some of the weakness that we saw prior to yesterday. So really the follow-through that we had on yesterday, you know, both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports are at pretty significant potential inflection points. I mean, what you don't want to see from an investor standpoint are both of those indices closing below their recent lows, which is about 24,442 for the Dow Industrials and 98.96 for the transport. So we're kind of watching those two indices very closely. And it's nice to at least see, although the day isn't done yet, a little bit of a follow-through, or at least kind of a containment following yesterday's nice bounce.
So the Dow Theory forecast, what is it forecasting right now?
Yeah, the last major signal under the Dow Theory was a bullish signal. And for that to change, you would need new closing lows in both of the indices below those points that I just mentioned. So, you know, that's why things are at a pretty significant potential inflection point here, and why it's important for the Dow averages to kind of hold above those lows. You know, there's the other thing to keep in mind is we're pretty much through the earnings season now, so markets potentially are going to be taking their cue from a lot of other stuff, such as, you know, what's happening on the international front, what's happening on the political front, what's happening to oil prices, which has been kind of a new factor that's come in here over the last month, and the meltdown that we've seen in oil prices, and what that may or may not bode for the global economy. So you're going to see a market kind of start to take its cues from other news events other than just corporate profits.
One of the things that the market seems to be taking its cue from is, and it's been doing this for a while, President Trump today has a news availability in his office, and he says that China may strike a deal on trade, and the markets turn around and move into positive territory.
Yeah, they do. That to me, that's really much more of a kind of a trading thing. At the end of the day, I don't necessarily believe that that's the sort of thing that this market ultimately is going to sink or swim on. Typically, what really drives markets in sustained ways are corporate profits, interest rates, and inflation. And, you know, significant changes in those three engines of the market are really, I think, what's going to move markets in a sustained way. I think, you know, comments coming out of the White House, you know, can influence certain, you know, minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour trading, but that's not something that most investors, I think, should be building an investment thesis around, quite frankly.
As you talk about the market lows and trying to gauge whether or not it's going to fall below those lows, at least closing on any day, are you trying to figure out if we're in a bull market that maybe is in sort of a mini correction here as opposed to being in a bear market?
Yeah, at this point, that's our assumption, that it is a correction within a bull market. And what we're seeing is an adjustment period. An adjustment period here to, you know, the trend we've had higher in interest rates. So investors are kind of weighing that and adjusting to that. I think there's an adjustment period going on right now in terms of the pendulum shifting, starting to shift back toward kind of value stocks and dividend paying stocks, which really trailed significantly through the first three quarters of this year. So anytime you get kind of a shift in things like interest rates, you get a shift in kind of market leadership or a rotation. That causes kind of the type of volatility that we've seen, and hopefully the market can kind of work through that in this adjustment period without both of those averages closing below those lows. That's really, the value of something like the Dow Theory is that, you know, it helps you frame these corrections to a point, and right now we haven't had the closing lows. And thus, we think this is still a correction going on within a bull market.
One of the stocks we're watching today is a chip maker, NVIDIA, which is missing on its revenue and guidance. When something, a a company like this, which provides stuff for the gaming and cryptocurrencies, what does this mean?
Well, it's a company that has been probably the best performing stock in the S&P 500 net over the last 3 years, and probably by far. And this is really the first blemish on its record. So when you looked at the report and you looked at their primary businesses in the data center field and the automotive field, their business was still pretty good. It was really what was happening in crypto and that overflow to the gaming sector. Now, that stock's clearly in the doghouse right now, and it's become a show-me stock. I think some analysts really feel a bit burned by what the company did and what they were saying in prior quarters about their inventories that didn't come to fruition. I think the long-term growth story is still there for a stock like that. This certainly is a lot cheaper now from a valuation standpoint, but my guess is that that is probably going to be somewhat dead money over the next couple of quarters until investors can see if, in fact, the company is working through those inventory problems that were the real issue this quarter.
Chuck, thanks for joining us today. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago business based on family and adventure travel.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour. Today we're spotlighting travel and business with one built on using personal experience and expertise to provide people with memorable trips. We welcome Kathy Bernstein, family and adventure travel specialist at Pro Travel International here in Chicago. Kathy, thanks for being with us. Now, we'd heard for a long time, 10 years now, that the internet was going to kill the travel agency. They just weren't going to be able to compete anymore. No one would want their service. Seems like you are certainly proving them wrong. How are you able to do this?
Well, thank you. I actually think the internet has helped us a great deal. Those of us that are involved in complicated trips use the internet as a great tool to help our clients. There's so much information out there, though, it's overwhelming for most consumers if they're not experienced in travel.
And so if they're,
we really find it's a helpful tool. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. So if they're dealing with something more than, hey, I have to get from Chicago to Dallas, get online and find a flight, if they're really looking for more nuanced things, great places to eat, great places to go, and especially some of the maybe more exotic overseas destinations, that's where you're really able to step up and help.
Absolutely. I think that's where we really make a difference, because we've invested a lot of time and energy in developing those relationships around the world. We have experts all over. And, you know, you're investing a lot of time and money when you're going on a trip, and most of us don't have a lot of either. And so it's a great way to help consumers make the very most of their time.
I have noticed that baby boomers, who are starting to slow down a bit, are doing a lot of travel, and so are millennials. Have you seen that?
Absolutely, absolutely. The engagement stories are off the chain. They're so exotic anymore. And then the honeymoons are amazing, the baby moons. I mean, they're doing a lot of traveling, and a lot of them are postponing marriage to begin with anyway. And so they want to do those exotic trips that they feel they may not be able to do later. So, yes, I see a tremendous growth in the millennials and the younger travelers.
This is very expensive, though. How do young people, you know, buy this?
I think they're making trade-offs for experience over material things. I think there's a lot more desire to experience more of life and have special memories, and less focus on owning homes or cars or whatever. I think there's a lot more use of, you know, living downtown, less cars, no cars, and more spent on their free time and their travel.
Are travel agents ever able to get people deals that maybe they wouldn't be able to find if they're just out there looking around on their own?
I think it depends on how you want to qualify that. I am not the bargain shopper, but I do feel like what we add is the best use of time. We have preferred relationships. Those of us that have been doing this a long time and have a lot of experience have been doing it a long time and have great relationships with the resorts and the hotels, and so they're often amenities and perks that are afforded to our clients that they would not get on their own. Plus, they're making choices that work out well for them. They're going to the right places for them. They're matched well with the right hotel, the right location, the right tour guide. So they're not wasting their money on things that really aren't going to turn out the way they hoped.
And a lot of that, you talk about the preferred relationships, a lot of that is even if you go online and you see some good reviews, you just don't necessarily know what a resort is like if you haven't been there. That's where a travel agent steps in and says, yeah, this one's good, this one's not so good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, for each person, it's different. I've had some clients tell me, oh, well, my friend went here or there. But if they don't travel with that friend or have the same socioeconomic situation or even the same taste, that may not be the right choice for them. So a lot of time is spent on trying to understand what's right for the particular person and then trying to match them with that property. And that works out well for everyone. The client's a lot happier. The hotel's certainly a lot happier. You don't want anybody sitting in the lobby miserable for whatever reason. So that's where I think we add a tremendous amount to the experience.
Where are your favorite places to go?
Oh my gosh, it's probably the question I'm asked the most often, and it's really difficult to say because I'm one of those people that doesn't like to go back to the same place twice. I'm a big fan of Southeast Asia, but because I do adventure, I also like South America quite a bit. So I'm more a little bit off the beaten trail, but I've been to almost 100 countries, so I've covered a lot of territory, and I just like to keep going.
All right. I thought she was going to say, like, Evanston or something. That's fine.
Well, Wilmette's a very beautiful place.
Sure
is. You know, and Lake Michigan is hard to beat in the summer, you know? So
absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people come from all
nice
over the world.
Nice to meet you, Kathy.
Here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Great stuff. Kathy Bernstein, Family and Adventure Travel Specialist, Pro Travel International here in Chicago. Still to come, a famous toy retailer returns to the Big Apple. Will Chicago be next?
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
After a several-year absence, the toy retailer FAO Schwarz is back in New York City just in time for the holidays. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line with details is Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO at J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Thanks for joining us today, Jan. What was the new owner thinking going back there, several years going back? Why start it up again?
Well, you know, FAO Schwarz managed to fail basically twice, once on his own, once under Toys R Us, and now it's been rebirthed by 360 Brands. And it's hard to imagine this store won't work. It's about almost 30,000 square feet, I think, in Rockefeller Center. And they're hoping, of course, that you'll come to New York, you'll go to Central Park, you'll go to Statue of Liberty, and you'll go to FAO Schwarz, and probably down to the Macy's big store, too, because it's the other big tourist attraction in New York. And I think they're probably right, because they've got everything there. It's not just FAO. It's the big piano like you've seen from the movie Big. It's got Build-A-Bear Workshop inside. It's got Barbie store inside, a Melissa and Doug store inside. It's got a Transformers store. It's got a baby adoption center. Well, not real babies, of course. It's dolls, but it's set up like an adoption center. So it's quite a place. I haven't actually been in it yet. I've walked by it about 100 times wondering when I was going to be able to get inside, but as you probably know, it just opened this morning at 10:30 for the first time. But they've been under construction for a while there, and so it's been well plastered with signage to make sure everybody knew it was coming.
So
I think what they're thinking is this will help their overall business, because they also run shops inside of Macy's and things like that. This will just be great advertising for them, this big, fabulous store.
Any chance that if it is successful there, that it comes to Chicago? Because a lot of Chicagoans say, hey, it's really great for New York, but what about us?
I thought that would be your first question, because I remember when that store went away.
Exactly.
But I believe they're not going to build 300 of these, but they could build a dozen or maybe something like that. Certainly Chicago would probably be next on your list after New York, given how famous the one there was as well. So yes, it wouldn't surprise me to see that, but I don't expect to see very many. But these flagships they're building to really drive the brand and get them back in front of the public's imagination, yeah, I would think Chicago might be your second stop.
Well, we'd certainly welcome it, I'm sure. Thanks, Jan. Always appreciate your insight. Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Coming up, Bloomberg checks the markets.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Baird. And here is Joan Doniger.
Well, Chris, you know what happens after the sugar high, right? It's happening right now on Wall Street. The Dow is still up, but by 48 points. The NASDAQ is now down 45. The S&P has fallen negative again. It's down 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg has slipped below the flat line as well. It's down 0.1%. Now, Wall Street had been lower earlier, dragged by chipmaker shares, until President Trump told reporters he may not need to impose further tariffs on China, indicating trade tensions are thawing. That was enough to push the Dow and S&P into gains, bigger ones than we're seeing now, and everything's falling backward. In the 3 weeks before that Lion Air Boeing 737 crashed in waters off Indonesia, Southwest Airlines replaced 2 malfunctioning flight control sensors of the same type that had been implicated in the crash. The Wall Street Journal says it looked at Southwest maintenance records. The Southwest plane models were, of course, the same model as the Lion Air jet. Volkswagen is aiming at becoming the most profitable maker of electric cars. It's planning to spend about $50 billion to do so, and the company says it's hoping to have an agreement to cooperate with Ford worked out by the end of this year. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.